Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right. What's up, everybody? Happy New Year. This is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. Thank you for joining us. Excited today. We have a fantastic guest. We have a state champion winning basketball coach from South Bend St. Joseph's, a local basketball powerhouse, Mr. Eric Gaff. So how's it going today, Eric?
It's going well. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, so you guys are right in the midst of it. So we generally release these a little bit after the fact, but right now we are recording, just turned the calendar to 2026. So how's the season going so far up at St. Joe?
It's going well. Can always be better. It's probably not as bad as I think, and it's probably not as good as I hope. So we're in a good spot. We're getting better, and you know, just gotta be ready for March.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's how every coach views it. I've only had one coach tell me he's thrilled with his team, and all the time I've been doing this, there's always a little room to improve. And you guys are in an interesting spot because obviously you've got a talented ball club, a lot of expectations coming into the season, but you're also coming off of a season where you're at the absolute height of highs and now a little bit of roster retooling. So last year, state title team, correct?
Yes, sir.
So what is it like as you come back, you know, defending a state title? A lot of people don't even like that terminology. You know, we're not defending it, we're pursuing another. So what's it like trying to get a team focused after you come back off of that level of success?
Yeah, it was obviously I've never had to do that before. It's a great learning curve to have. I'm not complaining for sure, but I forget the coach who said it. Maybe Gina Ariema said it. Don't quote me. But someone much smarter than me said that there's never been a back-to-back championship team because every team is different. And I heard that shortly after we won, and I was like, I'm returning like three guys that were starting. I'm returning, you know, five guys that played big minutes. So, you know, we are returning defending championship, you know, team. And I think the first learning curve was that, like, it really is different. Because guys are in new roles, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be the captain, or you know, who's going to be the catalyst to kind of push us back towards that championship level play. And there's been a lot of steep learning curves as a coach, and I think the team's gone through some growing pains and are going through growing pains as we try and find our version of championship, you know, behavior and championship DNA. So to answer your question very long-windedly,
no, it's perfect.
It's been a challenge, a fun one, to try and see, like, you know, this team behaves way differently than last year's team, and what they respond to is different. So it's been fun. It's been stressful. I've lost a lot of hair this year, but it's a good problem to have.
So it's interesting. So you're returning three of your starters. So I'm assuming when you say you're looking for your captains, that two of the kids you graduated then were captains of your team or in a major leadership role, correct?
Yeah, both. I mean, they kind of, one of them, his name was Brayshawn. You know, he was a guy that it was like highly touted coming out of junior high, and you know, kind of went through some growing pains as a player. As, you know, like most kids that are really good in junior high tend to struggle the first couple years in high school because they were just so dominant, and all of a sudden now they're not as dominant.
Sure.
So he had some growing pains, but the one thing that he just got better at every time was just being like a steady hand, a steady leader. He knew how to pick guys up when they were down. He knew how to pull guys back when they got a little too high. And that's one thing that I don't think we have yet. I don't think we have it yet, but there's some guys that are making some strides there. So that was a big loss. And obviously the other guy was not a great player, but he was like the, it's a good podcast word that's not bad to say. He was just a dog. You know, he was a dog. Like, you know, if things weren't going well, he let the guys know. So
that's good,
we have that, thankfully. So, yeah, it's a big loss in that world.
So I think that's really fascinating. So one of the things I really love about what we do in Play in Faith is obviously we're talking sports, but I like to say that sports is just a great dress rehearsal for life. It teaches us how to handle adversity, how to set goals, how to build relationships, how to deal with success, deal with failure. Obviously, you were the coach last year, and while we all grow, evolve, develop, you're basically the same guy. So you're talking about your team having a different personality. I think that's fascinating, but just how much is driven by the leaders on our team and how much influence we have on our teammates, as one of the leaders. So what are some of the things that you're looking for when you guys are looking for your captains? How does that even work? Are you picking it? Are your players voting? Is this a discussion your coaching staff's having? Like, how do you get to that point?
Our players vote for it, so we always let our guys vote. We have nothing to do with it. The one thing that I think any team at our level, in high school level, would have is they tend to vote for the best basketball players. And so kids view better players as better leaders. And as you know, in life, to your point, rarely is it like the best guy or whatever it is that's the best leader. Typically, it's someone that's maybe not as gifted in whatever we're talking about. So basketball. So far, our best leaders have been guys that weren't the very best player. There were
Interesting.
guys that just worked hard. There were guys that knew, what it takes to win. Like, hey, I might not get to shoot the ball 10 times, but if I defend, rebound, and I really, pursue my teammates, that we'll have a chance. And so, that's one of our learning curves is that our captains right now expect, right? Like, hey, I'm the best player, so that means I am now a leader. And then their expectation is that that's it, right? And so, part of our job now is to teach what it is to lead. And leadership isn't a role, it's an action. And so, what's your body language like? And what words are you using? Are you building or are you tearing down? Because I think guys think they see it on TV or the movies or whatever, players cussing out another player and they're yelling and screaming and they go, well, that's leadership. Well, no, it's not. Right. There's a whole bunch of other things that happened prior to that player saying those words to build a relationship where you could talk that way or whatever the example is. So our guys skip all the groundwork and they go straight to like, I'm going to chew you out because that's accountability. That's leadership.
Saw
It's
the
like, no, no, no.
movie and
Yeah. No, 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 no. That's not leadership. Let's go back and let's look at it. So, I think the more I'm in the game as a coach, the more I realize, the majority of your job is really player development. And when we talk development, we're talking like how to lead, how do you carry yourself? We're in a faith-based school or Catholic school. Coaching staff isn't Catholic though. We're on the others. We're Protestants, so careful
They
with
still
that.
let you hang around.
Yeah. Still let us,
That same team, just a slightly different jersey. I
yeah.
think I
Different
get
views, the same team.
it.
And so like, hey, we profess that we are followers of Christ. How does that look as a leader? Because, if Jesus was here, would you see him MFing a kid? I don't know. I don't think so. And then when you fail, like I'll tell you right now, I fail all the time. I fail constantly. And coming up and saying, hey guys, I tell you guys not to swear and I drop the swear word. How do you fix that and set that model to them? And then, over time, I wish it was faster. Some guys pick it up quicker, but for the most part, it usually takes years, of our time. But
That's kind of the
I don't know if that
gratifying
answers your
part of
question.
coaching, though, right? I mean, that you get to help some of these young men become leaders. I think it's fascinating when you mentioned that I find the same thing where even with my youngest teams that I'll coach, where I'll let them pick squads or pick captains, and they do tend to pick whoever is the best basketball player. Companies make the same mistake as well. I've spent 15 years on stage consulting, training, where, okay, this guy made the most sales. He's in charge of the sales department. Well, can he communicate? Can he lead? Like, just sell some stuff. And we get ourselves into trouble. So, what are some things that you and your coaching staff do to help these leaders move into those roles where, you mentioned using our words to lift up rather than to tear down and not just leading by example? Like, so what are some things you do or try to do at least to help develop those leaders? It's not easy.
We do like we give them books to read. We send them quotes. We send them Instagram clips, Twitter thing or X or whatever it's called now. We do we'll take our guys out for breakfast and we'll sit and talk to them. My one assistant, he calls it raincoat time. Put your raincoat on. You're gonna be in the rain, but just let it get off you. And have hard conversations. And then we try and put them in positions where
That's good.
they have to figure it out. Like I think sometimes you just got to throw them in and let them figure it out. And so we won't, we've had a few like little bumps and bruises in practice where guys get a lot, cross the line with maybe some things they say, or they get a little little too far down the line there, but we will let it go because we think like they know they went too far, right?
Sure.
Everyone has that innate understanding. Let's let them figure it out. I don't need to step in and otherwise they don't learn the lesson.
Right.
Otherwise, coach came in. We let them go and we let them kind of sort through it. You know, sometimes it fixes itself on the spot. Sometimes, you know, the kid walks into the office after practice with his head down and you go, "What's wrong? What are you doing?" And, "Well, you know, so and so said this to me and I don't think that was fair and did it." "Did you talk to him?"
Right.
"No." "Well,
Just gonna
you want
let
to
it
be a
bleed
man?
there,
You want to grow and be a
manifest.
man? Yeah.
Yeah.
Walk your butt out there and talk to him. Look him in the eyes. You know, have that moment and push him to do that." And, you know, sometimes it works really well. And sometimes I drive home and have to drive around the block a few times to cool down before I go in the house. But
Oh yeah.
I think it works. I think it gets you there. Just takes
It's
some time.
that coach in life. I find that the most gratifying part. And I know a lot of our audience, the reason I ask a lot of these questions to coaches is a lot of people listening are coaching at different levels, whether it's high school, middle school, even, you know, elementary. And I've been blessed that I've had them for such wide ranges of age. And the cool thing is we're getting ready to our season officially starts tomorrow, you know, for my middle school crew. And I'm able to offset some of that leadership to my captains, where with, you know, with elementary and early middle school, maybe it is more me. And now I'm finding ways to get out of the way and let them lead the best way they see fit. And the conversation with our two captains before we unlocked the doors today was, hey, look, this team is going to act and behave however you two do. You want a team that works really hard, that takes this serious? You've got to take every drill serious. You want a team that sets real screens, don't round them off and walk into them in drills, right? You want a team that's going to play hard, practice hard. And what's cool is when your best players and your voted leaders behave that way, man, it's really hard not to fall in line. But if you just you or me yelling at them, well, oh, it's just coach, right? Oh, it's
Right.
just coach.
Yeah. It's crazy how far those teams go too.
Yeah.
Like I know you've heard, you know, player-led teams are always more successful than coach-led teams. And, you know, we preach that to our guys. And, you know, last year, 2 years ago, we went to state and lost. And I thought that was the first time I saw, we kind of saw it late. It was actually in January, where all of a sudden I had players that like before I could say something, jumped in and said, "Hey, we said we're not going to do X and we're not going to do Y. We're doing it. Unacceptable. We're fixing it." And they went out
Love
and
it.
fixed it on their own. And all of a sudden, you know, I think we rattled off 15 wins in a row. And it, nothing I did. You know, those guys taking accountability and pushing, you know, the standard themselves. And last year we did a lot sooner and very successful throughout the year. And this year we're building in that. You know, hopefully we can get there tomorrow at practice. You know,
Yeah,
but.
you got about a month and a half to figure it out. So when you said they said, look, we agreed upon and this is what we said we were going to do, how did they come to that point? Is that something that they formally did where they said, look, this is what our team stands for. These are our, like for our team, we call them, these are our three non-negotiables. And I like my kids to come up with them on their own. Like,
Yeah.
these are the three things we agreed that this is what we do and don't do. And so I don't have to tell them. Like you said, they tell them. Like this is, so how did they get to that point? Was it just something inferred, or was it like a discussion they had as to these are our rules, principles?
A little of both. So our kind of our core foundation is strengthen the pack. Everything we do has to make our pack better.
Nice.
And so we start out, you know, I gave, "Hey, here's my, I think my first year, I said, here's my four, our four core values, and we're going to hold to those." And then, you know, guys, "Well, we like this other one, so we had five, then we had six." And so I took it from the All Blacks down in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I think they have like 40 core values, but each season they pick two or three that team is going to really, really hold to. And so we kind of stole that from them, where I go, "Hey, like, we're always going to be relentless, we're always going to compete, and we're always going to be tough." Like,
Nice.
that's us, right? And how does that look for you guys? And they'll come up with, you know, "Hey, we're always going to be on time. You know, if you're not, that's a problem. We're always going to, you know, sprint to win, not sprint because coach told us to." And then they slowly kind of build it out and it kind of becomes its natural thing. And then, you know, you kind of ask, go like, "Hey, is that your standard?" And they'll go, "No, this is our standard." And then I just write it
Perfect.
down on my practice plan and I'll make a note of it so that I make sure it's in our every pregame, every pre-practice talk, post-practice talk. We make sure we touch on it.
Love it.
And then, yeah, they kind of go from there.
It's just cool when they're setting their own standard. And like you said, when it's just coach yelling it, like I've had that discussion with kids of like, Don't be excellent because I want you to be excellent. I want you to strive to be excellent because it's a habit, because you're not going to play basketball 15 years from now for most of them. Maybe I'll get lucky and someday I'll have a kid. Most of these kids, college is even far off. Like varsity may not even be for all of them, but they're certainly going to have to compete and be excellent parents, community leaders, business people. So it's just a habit of excellence when you start demanding it from yourself. And it's just really cool when you get a team that'll do that for you, because no matter how much we try, it just can't all come from the coach. It just can't.
No, and it's not like I think it's best to like I know your best player's got to be your best player, but when it's like your sixth man or eighth man that's just out there crushing it, man, they're diving on the floor, they're doing everything. Like today we had a
Love it.
situation, we did like a finishing drill that I stole from Michigan University. I stole that, and we did it. And I said, hey, if the Michigan coach staff was in here, I looked at one of my better players. How would you have gone harder? He said, yeah. And I go, well, then that's why you're never going to play at that level. Because if you were to play at that level, you would always be at that level, right? You would
Yeah.
hold that standard. And, he kind of gave me that look of like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And then, we go to the next round. All of a sudden, he is
It
the best.
landed.
I mean, he's there. And you go, like, yeah, dude, like, I shouldn't have to say that to you, right? You
Right.
should just, like, every guy in my program, I want to be a college player. I think almost every one of my guys, whether it's basketball or we got track, we got a couple other football, whatever the sport is. Okay,
Sure.
well then that should look like that, no matter whether your locker room etiquette, the way you
Yeah.
walk in the gym, the way you tie your shoe, everything should look that standard. So if you say you're a championship program, which we say we are, then everything should look that way. And if
Yeah, man.
whether I'm standing in the gym or it's Dusty May or Micah Shrewsbury or whoever, pick a college coach from any program, then they should
Yeah.
just go like, yeah, that's what you get every day.
I love it. I think that was my very first program. I started speaking professionally when I was in college, and the theme was how you do anything is how you do everything. And we try to explain that to our kids, and it's nothing to do with me. It's just excellence is a habit, hard work is a habit, greatness is a habit, and sports just a vehicle to get there. But obviously, for a lot of your kids at a program like South Bend St. Joe, athletics is the vehicle to get them to those dreams and goals of playing in college. You've had tons of kids recruited. You've had a lot go to all different levels at whether it's a small school or even D1 programs. So let's talk a little bit about some of that recruiting process, because I think this is of interest to a lot of parents, and it's very mystifying for a lot of parents. They think it's get stats, phone magically rings, and these coaches are beating down your door. So what advice would you have for someone comes into your program, they're eighth, ninth grade, and they say, "Coach, I want to play at the next level." What are some things you're telling them?
Yeah, so I've kept every college coach I've spoken to when they call to recruit a player, I'll write down the questions they ask. And they're always set from no matter if it was, big time D1 or it's NAIA or Division III, they're the same questions. And they're never about can you shoot the ball. If they're calling, they know your kid can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
They know they can dribble, they know whatever it is. They ask, how is he off the court? How is he in the classroom? What's the family like? Does he want to get better? Does he want to really work hard to get better? And I go, like, that has nothing to do with your kid can make a jump shot or not. It's all
Yeah.
about, is he going to make the program better? Is he going to be an outstanding citizen? And that's, we talk from like, hey, that's more important, right? If your kid's good, they're going to get found. Like, especially nowadays with social media and everything, like, they find everybody everywhere.
Oh, it's like, even with just like Max Preps and Huddle, I mean, like
Yeah.
every game is, I mean, I could get game film on junior high girls games if I want to. Like
Yeah.
everything is available. It's
Yeah.
insane. So when a parent or so when someone asks, how their grades, that's something they could probably look up, right? They can get their transcript, they can look at their test scores. When they're asking about the family, what are they really asking? Because I think that's a tricky question. It's a loaded one, and almost everyone who's listening now, I'm guessing, has some interest in this part of athletics, right? That's who our audience is.
Yeah.
So when they ask about the family, what are they really asking, and what do they want to
Are the parents a problem? Are the parents going
know?
to be a problem? That's what they want to know. Like,
Yeah.
and I kind of say the same thing, no matter how good the parent is or how bad the parent is or whatever, we've had them all. I'll say like, hey, you guys are more insulated than I am. Like my parents, they can can stay in a hallway where I come in and out. They know, they see me every day. So I'm very, very visible. You know, college program, they got some distance between them and the parents.
Say that's what I find interesting, right? Because high school, yes, I mean, like parents can cause problems. They're on message boards, like, but like in college, like, I mean, like if your mom's complaining about Tom Izzo, like, I don't think that's going to really make much of an impact. But they still are extremely concerned about the family. That I find
I
that very
think it
interesting.
makes, I think it makes more of an impact than what we understand. You know, obviously we've never been in that seat,
Sure,
but
sure.
you know, we've all heard like outside voices kill teams. And so,
Yeah.
you know, if the parent is telling the kid that they're in the wrong position, this is going wrong and you should be getting that and this and the other, that's going to bleed into the team and that could change the dynamic and ultimately will hurt the kid. We know it's going to hurt the player for
Yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a hard message to get parents to buy into. Like, you matter as much as the kid does. So if you are a clown
Wow.
and they see you in the crowd doing something dumb or, you know, screaming at referees, like they're taking notes on that and they're going like, I don't know if I want that around us. And
Yeah.
the majority of my kids, as good of players as I've had, none of them are as good that it doesn't matter what, like there are players in our world that they could be absolute monsters. The parents could be terrible, but they're good enough. It
Exactly.
doesn't matter. It does. They're
Right.
going to figure it out. The majority of us, those little things push the needle one way or the other way. So if mom and
Yeah.
dad are jerks, guess what? They're going to move on because you're not rare. You know, they're
Interesting.
we always tell players like, "Are you the best player in the city?" And I've had a few that they can say, "Yes, we are the best player in the
Oh,
city."
yeah. Yeah, you've had a
And I'll
couple.
go, "Okay, you're the best player in the city. How about Northern Indiana?" And I've had a couple that can say, "Yeah, I think I'm the best player in Northern." Yeah, I agree. And I go, "How about the state of Indiana? Best player in the state of Indiana?" We had a couple that were close. You know,
Yeah.
some right on the line. So you go, "Okay. What about Indiana plus Chicago?" Well, you know, I don't know. Okay, what about Indiana, Chicago, LA? No, I'm not. Okay, so you're not rare. Okay, just so you understand.
Right.
So all that stuff matters. Mom and dad, like, just be on point. You don't have to agree with the coaches, and I'm okay if a parent comes up and says, "Hey, can I find time to talk?" Yeah, okay,
Oh,
what's
yeah, of
going on? Well,
course,
we
of
don't
course.
understand. Okay, great, let's sit down and have this conversation. But if you're calling a coach 20 minutes after the game and you're complaining about something, I will not lie to a college coach because I'll burn my credibility. And that means that they won't recruit any of my players in the
Yeah,
future.
so say that again, because I think for the most part, everyone just figures, well, obviously coach is just going to back up the kid because you know them, you love them, you care about them. But for the future of all the kids you coach, say it again, why you have to tell the truth.
We have to be honest with college coaches because if we're not, they will not come back and recruit our players. Right. And
Amen.
so if they know, you know, Coach Gaff is a man of his word, then they'll come back and they'll say, like, "Hey, worth looking at this kid because coach's word means something." Or, which is what we've seen more often, that coach will call on behalf of one of my players to another program and say, "Hey, this kid would be a good fit. Go recruit
Yeah.
this kid." And that's probably one of the things I learned that I didn't think about is
Yeah.
how much communication college coaches are doing. They talk
Yeah.
to everybody all the time. And so we've had players that got recruited, and I'm like, "How did this school from, you know, Florida hear about my guy?" Or how did my, well,
Yeah.
it's because a coach called on behalf of this player. He goes, "Hey, check in on this kid." And then here we are.
Oh, it's a crazy, like, small knit world. I mean, I even look at just the interviews that I'm able to have, and almost all of you are connected in some invisible web. Like, you're probably 3 steps away from 80% of the people I've interviewed, and especially in basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like, actually, one of the very first episodes we did, you played at Grace. That's your alma mater, right? Let's give a
Yes,
shout out
sir.
to Grace Lancers. So, was Chad Briscoe your AD then, or was that before
Yeah,
him?
he was my AD. I think
Okay.
he came in my sophomore year or junior
Okay.
year he came in.
I figured it was right around there. So Chad was one of the first interviews, and huge fan of everything he's doing.
Oof.
National like athletic director of the year, unbelievable stuff. So we're having this conversation, and it was the first time the light bulb really went off for me, and we shared with our audience. He said that very often one of the disqualifying factor in the recruitment process is mom and dad. And I said, wait, Chad, what? And he said that at Grace there have been many, many kids who qualified academically, who met the very strict ethical code that it takes to be a Grace student and were athletically good enough to play. And the coach in many different sports walked away because of mom and dad, the way they talked, the way they behaved on social media, which is becoming a huge problem for coaches, and just the way they behaved in the stands. And I thought, man, that is absolutely heartbreaking. A 17-year-old kid who's smart enough and good enough to play at Grace doesn't because of
Yeah.
mom and dad. And I hoped desperately that someone listened to that episode and was like, ugh, maybe we need to knock it off a little bit. Maybe not all. But I'd
Probably
like
not
to
all. I can
not
tell you,
know. I mean,
not
dude,
all.
I'm going to be at a bunch of games today and I'll hear stuff. I mean, I was sitting at a game a month ago. Parents were just like, oh, blasting the coach. And like, you go on max preps and their kid is literally shooting 14% from the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
But that's the coach's fault, all right? Not the kid's fault.
why are they not starting? I'm like, well,
Well,
basically every shot's a turnover. That's
yeah.
probably why. So, I mean, like, I think parents have good intentions. And I always throw this caveat in here. I've never met a parent who had bad intentions. Almost every action is because they truly love and want what's best for their kid. They're just maybe not doing it in the right fashion. So obviously, I mean, you coach some pretty high profile athletes. You coach a lot of kids with D1 dreams. So when you have some of those parent conversations, I know you've had some tough times where you've had to bench a kid. And you had some parents that handled it really, really, really well, even though their kid was clearly on that college trajectory and would be coddled at most programs, right?
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like, it's terrifying doing it because that's not terrifying. You do it because you know it's the best thing, and you
Oh, I
do it,
get it.
and you just know that there's gonna the heat is coming afterwards, and you just got to stick to your guns. And to be honest with you, 9 out of 10 times the player responds immediately. You know, like there's the old Bobby Knight quote, right? When rear end meets bench, right?
Signal.
Yeah, you know, it
We'll
works. It does.
paraphrase that. We're definitely
Yeah,
paraphrasing
paraphrase it.
Bobby.
You can at home, you can Google it at home. All right, Google it at home. Be careful. Bobby Knight had a different way to speak.
A salty fella.
But yeah. But you know, there's been times where, you know, we did it and like the family is outside the locker room and they explode and we have to talk them down. We have to remove, like, hey, get away. Your kid's gonna see this. Let's move away, and we have to do that. And on the other time, we've had families come up and just a quick fist bump and go, smart, smart. Right, because they know, and there's times where you have a family where you go like they get it, and then all of a sudden they don't, and you go, "What happened? What happened? Where did you were on our side a week ago? What changed this week?" And you know, like us coaches, we're emotional, so is everyone else, and you never know. But when the family buys in with the staff, even if they don't agree, right? Even if they don't agree, you know, like we'll use my dad as an example. My dad was a high school girls coach, and I got chewed out by a coach. And I went to him, and I'm like, "He'll make me feel better." And he was like, "Yeah, you're soft. You know, be better." And it was like, ah, I don't know if my dad agreed with what the coach said to me or not. I just know that he told me, "You know, I'm soft." And I went, "What?" And I went and worked even harder and moved on with my life. And so even if maybe parents don't agree, but they understand what we're trying to build and they buy it, the kid responds and becomes better. When the parent doesn't, it just becomes a battle that you're like, and I think this is going back to college coaches, why I don't think they want parents that are problems.
Kids
Because
are less
all they want to
coachable.
do, yeah, they just want to coach a team and build a team and make this program special. And then if they have to stop doing that to focus on a parent because the parent is doing something that impacts the kid, which impacts his program, that's not what they're there for. And I think that's one of the things, and this is me guessing, I'm not in that world, but that's what I think because, you know, let's see, we're halfway through the season almost. And I've already had to deal with a couple of different things where I've sit and talk to families and go through that. And it's like, I'd rather be watching film and getting ready for a game coming up on Thursday or Friday or whatever. But, you know, I'm here dealing with this.
It's the
And
part that
sometimes it's
burns out so
necessary.
many coaches. It's such a bummer. Like you see, like they're struggling to get quality coaches at the youth level, and it is a lot of that. It does take a toll on you. I think we all like to think that we're immune to it, and the reason I'm pushing you down that path is, I mean, you cut down the nets last year. You're a state championship winning coach at one of the best programs in the country. And you're still dealing with all of this. So hopefully for our youth coaches out there that have had a couple of those, I'd say my tip that I give to folks, and I'd like your idea as well, is I think, look, I've had parent issues over the years too, but very, very few. And even with players that don't play a lot of minutes for me, because I coach their kids very, very hard, but we have a very, very deep relationship. And once you have a relationship with a player, they know that you love them, that you want what's best for them. I feel like at that point I have the green light to be more direct, more challenging, more demanding, more honest. But I feel like a lot of times coaches skip that step and we just go right into correcting and tearing down. And that's when I think a lot of people run into some of those issues. So how do you get to a point where you can get these families to trust you that, look, I am shepherding your kid in the best possible fashion. Just give me some latitude here.
Well, I think early on, like when I first went into the coaching world, the coaches I talked to were like, it's the team, it's the parents over there, and then whoever we're playing. And we don't coach parents, we coach kids, and fill in some Bobby Knight expletives in that, and that's kind of what I got taught. And I went, okay, that's what it is, And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy because these parents come in and they say these wild things to you and tell you're terrible, and you go, yeah, like I don't coach you, I don't want to be part of you. And then reading different books and seeing like there's got to be a better way because it's just not getting better. And so then we put rules in. Hey, don't talk to a coach within 24 hours of a game. It didn't work. They talk to you regardless, and you go, okay, that didn't work. And so we
Every
find,
youth league's trying, like, good luck.
yeah, no, it's not going to work. And so I read it. I was on my phone. Sorry, I had to Google. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. I read a book called The Sports Parent Solution by J.P. Nerburn. Highly recommend. It's a good book. But in there, it talks about they do a parent practice and they bring the parents in. And so, number one, I hate meetings. I think we're over meetings. We do too many of them, and I hate them, and I don't want to do them. We always have to do a parent meeting, and you sit there and you go through like, hey, don't talk to us after 24 hours. Make sure your kid's going to bed at a good time, whatever. And it's just, oh, it's an email. And I said, I want to do something different. So I saw his parent practice, and I said, well, let's do that. We'll try it out. So we did it. This was our first time this year, and the idea is, hey, we are not two separate teams. We're one giant entity, and I get 2 hours a day with your son. And you get 22 hours with your son. And if we can get close to the same page, we'll be far better than if it's my page and your page and
That's
we're
awesome.
fighting over where the kid goes. And so we sat down and we did, I gave him some examples of issues that we have as coaches, whether it's, a parent in the stand saying negative things. And how do you handle that, right? How do you handle, because you guys see it before I do. I don't see it. Usually my wife will go, hey, by the way, side note. How my families don't know where my wife is blows my mind. She's at every single game. She sits in the same place, and they'll be right next to her, and they'll be going off about me.
I
And I'm
just
like,
put my
yo.
wife on the bench with us to do stats and stuff because I don't want to even know, man. I don't want to know.
My wife had to move. She has to sit. She used to
Yeah.
sit, and now she has to move, so she's away.
Oh,
And I'm like, this is
so
ridiculous. Like,
sad. That is
she stands
ridiculous.
out. She's tall. She wears San Joe gear. She claps, and after game, she comes and gives me a hug and a kiss.
It should be the
Whatever. That's
first clip. Yeah, that's it is
neither here
amazing.
nor there.
Like, yeah,
Just I always think about that. Like, you see her? Come on.
I know. It
You
is
know
crazy.
she's gonna tell me in 2 hours she's
Right.
gonna
And
go,
it's
hey,
never
that one
anyone
fell.
who even knows the sport either. Like your harshest critics don't even know the basic rules of the sport
Yeah.
usually. Anyway, that was mean. Take that. I'm gonna edit that
Nah, leave it in.
out.
So we sat and said, like, if someone's in the crowd or a kid gets in trouble in the hallway, and how would you deal with it? And then watching the parents kind of divide and go, we should do that. Well, what about? And go, okay, that's our world. That's where I'm at every single day. And whether you think you know right or not, it's my final call. And here's what happened. And look, has it worked? I think we're far better off because we did it. Have we had some issues this year? Yeah, we always will. But I think it's been better because I can go back and go, hey, remember, you came in, we sat and talked, then we went out on the court and we practiced with the guys all together. Parents were out there with the kids and we did some fun drills. Do you remember that? Yes. What did we talk about? Yeah, coach, I remember. I'm not here to hurt your kid. I'm here to push them. And I don't think you can push, I can't yell at a kid. I can't if I don't have a relationship with them. And same with the parents.
There's no
If I don't have
shutdown.
a reasonable relationship, I don't have to be friends with them, but I have to have a good relationship. And if I don't, they're not going to respect if I go after their kid. And so, we decided that's going to be our push in the program. It went reasonably well. It'll get better next year. And hopefully we get to a point where I don't think we'll ever not have problems, but I think we'll be able to get to a place where the kid deals with less of it, and it doesn't have to be where the kid gets pulled between two different worlds.
It is really tough. I mean, you'll hear it a lot even in youth games, like the parents screaming, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. And it's like this kid's double teamed and they're 22 feet and they're a post. Like, no, take one dribble to the side, give the DHO, slip to the basket, and let's keep running our stuff. But like when your parent is screaming, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it, like you're just paralyzing, you're paralyzing the kid. Like you're
Yeah.
really putting them in a tough spot because they want to play basketball the right way. They want to do what their teammates and their coach wants them to do, but they certainly don't want to disappoint mom or dad. And when you put them in a spot where they can't accomplish both of those goals at the same time, that's when you see kids playing scared. They're looking at the sidelines after every play, and
Yeah.
you're stealing their joy, man.
If my player is looking in the stands at their parent, they're going to come sit next to me. And then they're gonna have to
Yeah.
answer, you're playing for me or playing for them.
Oh, I
You can't do
slipped in an
both.
eighth grade game last year. Like it was a girl whose family had never really attended, and like I mean, like she just the first two plays, and I mean, you could hear it across the whole gym. I felt terrible. I gave her a big hug afterwards, but I mean, I screamed. I was like, "You're not playing for them. You're playing for me." Turn around and like loud,
Yeah.
like we're not talking to mom and dad, and like the whole gym heard it. I was like, "Oh God!" But then I gave her a big hug. I was like, "I love you." I was like, "I'm sorry. I'm just fine." She goes, "No, thank you." And I was like,
Yeah.
She's like, "I hate when they talk to me while I'm trying to play." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." Yeah, so it is interesting. Obviously, like I think for like coaches at home, as I've had similar conversations about how do we deal with family expectations? How do we set some of these things? I've had that discussion with Coach Krebs over at Warsaw, who's going to wind up being a Hall of Fame coach, and hopefully he gets his state
Sure.
title this year, right? You're a state title winning coach, both Grace alum. And the fact that you all are dealing with this, I think for a lot of us, like we think, oh, youth sports and dealing with parents and dealing with this. Surely state championship coaches are just afforded automatic respect. And it's just interesting, like, I mean, we sit courtside for every Notre Dame game. There was like eight people helping Nielle Ivey out with strategy. I'm like, I'm pretty sure she's got it. Like, so
Yeah.
it is part of it. But I think the nice takeaway is that you find the joy in, man, we are so blessed. Whatever age we're coaching, that we get to pour into these young athletes.
Yeah.
We get to build better leaders. We get to build better communities. We get to teach lessons that you can't get outside of sports. Like, you're not getting this anywhere else. And if we have to deal with a little stress and anxiety along the way, then you know what? It's more than worth it, right?
Well, I think that's part of the reason you have so many coaches on your staff. Like
Yeah.
you gotta have someone you can go to, and not all the time. Like if you're a head coach, like I can't always go to my wife and tell her about the bad email I had or the bad text message I got on the phone because it'll wear her down. Like
Yeah.
she has been,
She'll get paranoid too.
unfortunately, she's seen the bad side. Like she happened to be close when it happened, and a parent came after me years ago, and she saw it and she was, upset. She's like, "We gotta do something," and now it is what it is. We're moving forward. So it's important to have, like,
Have a
I got
blizzard.
great coaches that I can go and go, God Almighty, like, this is killing me. And then they go, hey, we got you. Right. And, I got a really good assistant that he's a great, like, he'll see it coming. He gets in front of the parent and he's like, what are you doing? Give it 5 minutes, come back. And every time the parent will come back and go, all right, hey, I just don't understand. And then we can have a better conversation. But having a good support staff, other head coaches that you can
Yeah.
talk to and it's crazy the amount of times you go like, there's no way Krebs down at Warsaw has to deal with this. And then you talk to him, you go,
I know.
holy Lord,
I was
you're
like,
good.
who's talking back to you guys? I was like, oh
Who
my
are you? You're
goodness.
so good
Yeah,
all the time. You're good every
we
year.
got no chance if you guys are having issues.
Yeah. And so
Oh my
then you can
goodness.
laugh about it and you go, like, that's funny. And like I can be doom and gloom all I want, but in the reality it's like I have several parents right now who are coaches or coaches' spouses. We have geez, a lot. I think I have like five coaches in my program.
Yeah, people could Google your resume. They might recognize a few of them, sure. I
And
mean, your roster. I mean, they'll know. Yeah.
yeah, you can figure out who I have. And
You got some
it's been
studs, man.
great. They've been great families to have because, like, A, they get it. And then
Yeah.
B, they're very supportive of the ultimate goal, right? Like, I'm under no illusions that they agree with everything I do.
Oh, of
But
course. That's the
they agree
profession.
with what the outcomes we're looking for. We're all trying to be winners, right? And
Yeah.
sometimes that's cutting the net down, and sometimes that's, hey man, we went 500 and we probably should only been, 4 games under 500, but we made
Right.
it. We got better. And so having that, and they kind of, it's nice that you can go like, hey, like see that family over there, like they're coaching at two different levels, and look, they're not yelling at their son. They're just give them a hug, tell them they love them, and helping them grow, helping the kid get to a better place. And I think that's a
I find most coaches do get it. I've had like a lot of college coaches on whose kids are very high level athletes coming up, and they don't medal in their feeder team or their AAU team or their travel baseball team. And they're still coaching their kid, but they're not. I think they understand a little more, like you said, the big picture that like, look, ultimately, the families are our coaches are watching me as much as they're watching my daughters or my son. And just how heartbreaking would it be if an opportunity that they earned and deserved and desired didn't exist because of something that I had done? And I think that's probably just a good sobering reminder of, it's okay to be involved, but like, yeah, like it does matter. It's part of the recruiting process. So
yeah, and
it is fascinating.
I don't like we've had parent like over-involved parents, parents that are very involved, but they were high, like they were quality involvement, right? And so they would
I
take
love that.
advice on, and they would say like, "We really think this is the best route," and we said, "Well, this is our opinion," and they'd go, "You know what? Okay," and they would take that on and use that as they move their child through the ranks of athletics.
Yeah, so I always try to keep them like around half hour. I never make it. I always go long because I just find all of this fascinating. I could talk
I
sports for
hear
like
you.
2 hours.
I
So
hear
as
you.
we kind of put a pretty bow on it here, one of the I imagine it's just got to be so gratifying as a coach. Like, look, it's not all scholarship, it's not all college. There's a ton of lessons we learn in middle school, high school sports that are very valuable, but it's got to be incredibly gratifying to see a kid who sets that as their goal accomplish it, especially for someone who may not have had the means to go to college any other way. I know you've had a lot of kids go to the next level. So for parents out there listening, for our young athletes, what advice would you have for a seventh, eighth, even ninth, 10th grade athlete who really wants to play at the next level? What's some advice you would give for them as kind of our parting shot today?
Well, number one, I would say you got it. Like your ultimate goal. So, if your ultimate goal is to be college, then what's your classroom look like? Do you have good behavior? Are your grades good? Just solid? Are that is it, do we have that? Yes. Okay. Good. What is your actions like in the hallway? We've again, like when a college coach calls me. And they ask, like, what kind of guy is he? Well, I'll say, like, he gets in trouble a little bit here and there. Even if it's minor stuff, that can move the needle one way or the other. And then the next thing would be, how fundamentally sound are you? The amount of kids that we have that come in and go, like, I want to be a college player. I'm like, you can only dribble right.
Oh, jeez.
Like, hey, that's, you're going to have to be able to go left if you want to play at any level. I don't care if it's playing at Grace or it's playing across the street at Notre
Unless you're
Dame.
7'2" and dunking from the foul line, you better be able to put it in your left.
Yeah, you got to do both. So, be fundamental, and it's way easier to be fundamentally sound now in like the junior high ranks than to get to high school, because once you get to high school, like there are guys here that are fundamentally sound, and now you got to chase them and try and catch them to get on the court.
Yeah, and there's just
And
not time in practice, right? We don't have
yeah,
time to teach you
don't
how to
have
make a
time.
left-handed layup once you get to eighth or ninth grade. Like, you've got to be doing some of those things on your own. Yeah, for sure.
And just be fundamentally sound. If everyone showed up fundamentally sound, like that's the one. If I could get our junior coaches that coach, our feeder schools around us, I don't care if you win or lose, but man, can your kid close out on defense? Do they know what it means to actually sprint the floor? Do they know what it means to, rebound two hands, get your elbows out and pivot? Because we'll get kids that,
Just chin it, man.
hey, I went undefeated in eighth grade. Like, oh, great. You can't shoot a free throw. You can't dribble left. You don't know how to play defense. You don't know how to communicate. Like that, you're not really that good. You just won a, local junior high basketball. That doesn't really
Is this gonna get
equate
real
to
when you get to South Bend St. Joe? If you
that.
can't do those things, you're gonna get run out of the building.
So, and that's hard. Like our freshman coach, I'm like, hey man, I don't care if you win, but you got to be able to make guys good enough to play JV or varsity next year. Otherwise, I'm cutting your whole team. That's the real win, right? And that's whether, here's big picture for you. The real win for me is, do my guys go on to be successful, whether it's on court or it's in the classroom or it's in life? If they are, man, I'm doing something right. If they're not, I'm doing something real wrong as a coach. And I think that's got to be our ultimate goal.
Well, I will say that you're doing a lot of things right as a coach. You guys are putting out some great ball players, great people. So I really appreciate your time today. We are absolutely going to be praying for South Bend St. Joe the rest of the season. I know you
Thank
guys
you.
got some big ones coming. I think you got Riley coming up next week. All right, you got a big one.
We go Riley on Friday. What are they ranked? Like 14th in the state. And
Yeah,
then
they're legit.
the next day we have our rescheduled game against Silver Creek, and they're top 10. They're really
Okay.
good. So that'll be a fun weekend for us. Play two big games back to back. And if you can handle that, you have a chance to win in March.
Nice. Well, we'll be praying for you the rest of the season. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully, we can get you on again sometime soon. But thank you
Oh,
very
anytime.
much, Coach Gaff. I appreciate it. And just thank you, everybody, for listening today. Have a blessed afternoon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.